Lift up your hands and praise the Lord across the church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you for you are way maker. Hallelujah. We worship your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 How many is glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's see if I can do this right. No one's ever accused me of doing this right. There, so hold it up a little bit. We have a lot coming up this Easter season. Starting a week from Sunday, March 24th, Celebration Sunday, Good Friday. Then, on March the 29th, Good Friday, we will remember the crucifixion of our Lord. Then on the 30th, we will be here having a Holy Ghost power service. And then on Easter Sunday morning, I might improve on this before it's over. On Easter Sunday morning, we're going to have a resurrection service. We're expecting the Lord to move in a mighty and powerful way. Only thing that would be better is if you were here. Those within reasonable driving distance of Friends Camp, we look forward to seeing you at one of our services. For directions to this church, for service times, visit our website, holyghostfirechurch.org, and you will learn everything you need to know about this church. Bring a Bible, bring a friend, come to the house of the Lord. Bibles in the air tonight. This is God's holy word, inspired by the Holy Ghost. And this same Holy Ghost is here tonight to teach me, to lead me, to guide me in the great truth, which I will never lose nor leave behind. I will flow in the power of the Holy Ghost. I will understand and not depart from the true Word of God in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that the Spirit will reveal what He has for the church and for the believers, and that we can apply all of this in our lives and in the church. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated around the church tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to start Amos chapter 3. Verse 7, where it reads, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secrets unto His servants, the prophets." I want to look at that word, reveal, or to make known. In a prophetic ministry, there will be revelation, there will be. And by this, I mean the straight definition of the word. God will make known to the church what He is going to do, what He is doing, and what He will do. This will not be a secret to the church. He will make this known to us as a prophetic ministry. This will be made known unto us. Are we still here? Amen. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, in one of the apostolic prayers of the Apostle Paul, we see in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So what is Paul praying for here? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The revealing, in this case, of Jesus. The revealing by the Holy Spirit of the things of God in our lives and in our church. I can honestly say, since we have been praying this as a church, as believers, yes, the Word is starting to open up more and more. When you pray this, not just as a rote prayer, but as a prayer from the heart, from the very inner man, the Lord will answer and you will receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When there is a prophetic ministry, there is going to be a revelation of the Word of God. Are we still here? Now let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 2. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see the message of Jesus to the churches. Now, what is the name of the book we're looking at? Revelation. What did it say very early in the book of Revelation? Like the first line, the revelation of Jesus Christ, revealing Jesus Christ. Revealing. That's what a prophetic ministry is about. Now, this book, it is, yes, the prophetic book by everyone's definition of prophetic in the New Testament. But I'm going to go a little further. The entire Word of God is a prophetic book because God gave the message to the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to the authors who wrote this book. And today, God is revealing the secret things to us through this prophetic word written by the prophets and the apostles and the ministers of Jesus Christ. Are we together on this? This entire book is prophetic. It is the Word of God. We need to embrace it for what it is, a prophetic book. Now, when Jesus talks to the seven churches, He gives various forms of revelation to the church. These are the type of revelation that the Lord, through the Spirit, will give to this church as well. Revelation, maybe not the exact that's written here, because each church is different. But the Lord will operate in revelation knowledge when the prophetic word of the Lord goes forth. Now, in chapter 2, verse 1, it starts with, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. And we know that the first line to every church begins the same way. To the angel of the church of fill in the blank. Now, our first point in this message tonight. Who is revelation for? Who is the prophetic word for? Let's start with who this was given to. Jesus first gave this to the Apostle John, who is operating in a definite prophetic office. So the message comes from Jesus to John. But now the message goes to who? The church. Revelation is for the church, as in the revealing of the Word of God. It is for the church. If you want to have the Word of God revealed to you, be in church. Be a part of a church. When you are part of a church, even when you are in your prayer closet, the Lord will reveal more and more to you because of your association with a local church. Are we together on this? Being part of a local church, this is the place where the prophetic Word of God is revealed. All seven of these churches. This is who Jesus is addressing, churches. The revelation, the revealing is to the church. I don't care what age it is, be it Revelation 2 and 3's time, or today, at the edge of the beginning of Revelation chapter 4. The revelation, the revealing of the Word of God is to the church at this point, at this time. Are we together on this? So who is revelation knowledge for? The prophetic word. It's for the church. It comes from, yes, an apostle or a prophet, but it still goes to the church. This is the center of receiving information like this. Are we together on this? So the who is what? The church. From whom? Jesus. Jesus is the one giving this revelation knowledge, the prophetic word. Do not lose sight of this. When one speaks, thus saith the word of the Lord. And when the Spirit agrees with you that it is thus saith the word of the Lord, it is the word of the Lord. This message, it might have came from the pen of the Apostle John, but it came from Jesus to the church through John. A revelation, a prophetic word, it comes from Jesus to a minister, a prophet, even an apostle, it's a lot in there, to the church. So, who is it from? Jesus. Who is it to? The church. It goes through the voice of a prophet. Are we together on this? Now, let's slowly go through this, because all the elements of a revelation knowledge, a prophetic word, is in this message. What does Jesus do first in all of these messages? And this becomes key to the whole seven churches. The first thing Jesus does is He reveals Himself to each church. To the church of Ephesus, what does He say? He that holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In verse 8, Smyrna, these things write the first and the last, which was dead and now alive. Pergamos, these things saith He which hath the sharp sword with the two edge. Verse 18, these things saith the Son of God, who has His eyes like flame and the fire, and His feet like fine brass. In all seven of these churches, Jesus is revealing Himself to the church. I know a lot of people, they look at a prophetic message as predicting the future. Yet Jesus consistently begins His prophetic word to all of these churches by revealing Himself to the church. So when we look at a prophetic message, this is key. Jesus will reveal Himself to the church. In a prophetic word, we will learn more and more and more and more about Jesus. A prophetic word is going to be about who Jesus is. And we can spend week after week after week just going over who Jesus is. And that is a prophetic word. But so is knowing about what Jesus did and what Jesus is doing right now and what Jesus will do. Jesus wants to reveal Himself to the church. He wants to reveal Himself to the believers. For any ministry that claims to be prophetic, at some point on a consistent basis, they must be revealing Jesus to the entire church. Are we together on this? If a ministry that claims to be prophetic does not reveal Jesus, then something is not correct. Even the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, David, what did they do? They revealed Jesus to a generation that would be looking for His coming. And when He came, when this was fulfilled, they saw that the prophetic word was about Jesus. Even now, we need to realize that the prophetic word is about Jesus. Are we still here? The prophetic word, it is about who? Jesus. Let's keep going. Are we still here? Okay. Let's start with verse 2. A prophetic word. I know thy works. Let's just use the words, I know. Because I know crops up in verse 9 and verse 13 and verse 19 in chapter 3. It appears in verse 1 and in verse 8. And in verse 15, in a prophetic word, who we are and what we are doing will be revealed to us. Now let's start by focusing on what I know thy works actually mean. In a lot of these cases, this is the positive that the church is doing. I know it's easy to always deal on the negative, and we're going to touch on that in a moment. But Jesus, as much as possible, He deals with the positive as well. When a church is doing something correct, Jesus will acknowledge the good that the church is doing. A prophetic word will not always be positive, but it will not always be negative either. Jesus will focus on the complete picture of who we are. And that means a focus on the positive. If we look just at these seven prophetic messages, at the positive things these churches do, and we incorporate them in our church, we are further ahead than what we would have been otherwise. Jesus will focus on who we are for good and also for bad. I mentioned the negative was coming. Let's mention this real fast. Every one of these churches, with the exception of two, something was off. Now, Jesus, in a prophetic word, is giving a message about what these churches need to do to correct themselves. Who is the one giving this message? I know it would have been easy for any of the churches who received these letters to start attacking the Apostle John. After all, he's the one who sent these bad messages to these churches. Except for one thing. The Apostle John did not send the message. The message came from Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who deals with the positive in a church. Jesus is the one who deals with the correction of the church. Now, the revealing of the positive, yes. And the revealing of the negative, we'd rather not deal with it. But Jesus does. Why? Because Jesus always has the bigger picture in mind. Jesus always has the bigger picture in mind. Are we together on this? Jesus not only sees us as who we are right now, He sees us as who He is going to make us before this is over. In a prophetic word, Jesus is not revealing the bad necessarily to punish. If He was going to do that, He would just do that. But it doesn't work that way. If you look throughout the entire Old Testament, well, we saw in Amos, God does give warning. He does. He gives a chance to correct. Our God is not one to throw lightning when someone blows it and fries them at that moment. Even this book of Revelation, which will still be here on earth when we're with the Lord during the tribulation period, it serves as God's warning to that society about what He's going to do. God always warns. Always. Part of a prophetic word is not immediate judgment. If someone says it's too late, you're judged, I would really doubt what they're saying, because God always gives warning. Are we together on this? God always gives churches warnings. He tells them what He expects and how it is to be corrected. Let's move on a little bit. In all of these churches, I find it interesting. Jesus gives the five churches who have something to correct the choice. He does not say, do this or else. He always says something like, repent. If you repent, what the Spirit saith to the church is yours. If not, the judgment is yours. There is always a choice when it comes to our activity. Case in point, verse 5, chapter 2. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen and repent, and do the first works. This is what Jesus wants them to do. If not, I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. The good, if they do repent, to him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the garden of God. So what do we see? We see a choice given here. Now in a few minutes, we're going to deal with prophetic words about definite events that are going to happen. But in these churches, we see Jesus. This is the good. This is the bad. This is what you must do to correct the bad. If you do, it is what? To him that overcomes. And there is always a positive for all seven churches who overcomes. Let me drive home this point. If Jesus wanted to judge, and no one would have ever asked any questions, but Jesus gave his churches a chance to repent, and he even gave them the positive benefit for being who he wants them to be. There is always a blessing in obedience and repentance. Are we together on this? Amen. Too often, we want to talk about the judgment. But Jesus stressed with all seven churches the blessing that comes from believing, from repenting, from changing. A prophetic word in this church age to the church. What does it deal with? It deals with changing for the positive, the benefits that Jesus has. For the church, there is always a positive benefit for doing what Jesus wants us to do. Are we together on this? Now, as mentioned, Jesus also mentions the negative in five of these churches. This is what happens when one ignores the call to repent. Now, I don't know about the seven churches at that time when John wrote this to them, how they changed or not. I hope that they did. But I know these seven things basically float through a lot of churches. And yes, there is the prospect of those who do not repent to undergo judgment. But why does Jesus mention this? And it's not as a threat. It is actually to lead people to the positive instead of the negative. What does he mean by that? Well, this is what could happen. But I really want you to overcome, and I want you to receive the good instead. Are we together on this? Jesus mentions the bad to really accent the blessing that is ours when we overcome each and every one of these situations. So yeah, negative is mentioned. But as a way to get us into the positive instead of the negative. I'll use the big example. There are those who originally come to church because they heard about hell and they decided they wanted to go to heaven instead. They heard about the bad. It opened their mind to go to the good. This is a point we really need to stress, yes, there is a bad. But the purpose of this is to let you know how good the good is to them that overcomes. This is really what we should be striving for in a prophetic message to a church. Get what we're saying here. In a prophetic message to the church, there must always be the way of escape. Why? It's in the New Testament. God always provides a way of escape. If anyone gives a prophetic word and there's no way of escape, especially to a church, you might want to reconsider. There is going to be a way of escape in a prophetic message. Are we together on this? So what have we seen? We have seen that a prophetic message is to the church. It comes from Jesus. Jesus knows who we are, good and bad. He tells us what will happen if we change from the bad. He'll even give an added emphasis by letting us know what the bad is so we can change to the good and what the benefits of all of this is. When we look at a prophetic message, all of these really need to be a part of it. Now, let me touch on another type of message real fast. In the book of Acts, in chapter 11, Agabus shows up at the Antioch church. Now he begins his message by saying that a drought or a famine was about to hit that region. Now let me stress something here. Who was Agabus talking to? He was talking to the church. But who was the drought going to affect? Everyone in the region. Now, Agabus said that this message was yea and amen, it was going to happen. Notice that Agabus is not talking about an event that is going to just affect the church. Let's look at some Old Testament examples. Joseph, when he stood in front of the Pharaoh and said that a drought was going to happen, that was a fact. What was the message of Joseph after that? Prepare for the bad. This type of prophetic word, which is a definite something is going to happen in the world around us, is not to scare us. It is to provide the opportunity for the church to prepare for what is going to happen. What did Joseph do? As governor of Egypt, he prepared Egypt for what was going to happen. Who was saved? Because of the preparation made by Joseph. Not just Egypt, but the called out family of Israel. Type of the church. The preparation done protected Jacob and his family in a period of drought. The type of the church. When the prophetic word comes forth in situations like this, it is not, oh, this is the judgment of the Lord falling. It might be to them out there. But inside the church, it should be a message of preparation for what is going to happen. 4 years ago, this very week, we started to hear about COVID in the United States. And a lot of prophets came out basically talking about doom and gloom, things like that. Well, let me tell you something. If the Lord truly revealed this to the church, it would be to do what? To prepare the church for what is going to happen. If you look, Daniel's prophecy, it was to prepare Israel, later the church, with a knowledge of what was going on, that we would be prepared for these things when it happened. All the prophecies about Jesus, which were yea and amen. John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Christ is coming. Are we still here on this? A prophetic message, when it is, this is definitely going to happen to things outside the church. It is to prepare for the coming of what is going to happen. Even the Olivet Discourse, it was a message of preparation for those at that time, a message of preparation for those now. Even as we mentioned the rest of Revelation, those events are going to happen, chapter 4, all the way the rest of the way through. And for those at that moment, preparation. Even the message about the coming of the Lord, the rapture. It is to prepare us for those events. When we see a prophetic word regarding an event that's definitely going to happen, for those who believe in the Lord, for those who are part of a church, it is the Lord's way to prepare us for what is going to happen and us to get ready for it. In the case of Acts 11, the Antioch church heard the message of Agabus about the coming drought, and the church prepared the way for what would be relief to Jerusalem later on. And yes, even the Antioch church surviving during this time. In dealing with a prophetic word, there will always be something for the church to do on a positive, be it what we saw earlier in the message. Change from this to what the Lord wants you to do, and you will receive the positive benefits. Prepare now. The Lord is giving you the advance warning. Prepare now. A prophetic word, it really is information for us on what we need to do and what the benefit is going to be. Now, if the church in Antioch did not listen, what would have been the effect? It would not have been positive. But they did listen. Why? Because they realized what Agabus was saying was, thus saith the word of the Lord. A prophetic word. When the Spirit gives witness in our spirit, it is, thus saith the word of the Lord. In wrapping this thing up, let me drive home 2 points real fast. The one way back at the beginning, which is what? A prophetic word will reveal Jesus. If a prophetic word does not reveal Jesus, then something is off. A prophetic word must reveal Jesus. And the second, when we receive a prophetic word, we make the choice as believers to obey, thus saith the word of the Lord. In the case of the seven churches, by obedience, they move not just into who Jesus wants them to be, but receiving the benefits that Jesus has for them now and into eternity. When the prophetic word is something's going to happen in society, it is to prepare us for what is going to happen so we can overcome and be victorious when everything is said and done. When the Lord gives these prophetic words, we need to listen in the spirit of obedience. And then the Lord will reward that obedience according to all the promises in the Word of God. Prophetic words about Jesus. Prophetic words about where Jesus wants us to be and what He's going to do. This is something that the church really needs to focus on. And when we do, we will be blessed beyond measure, both now and into eternity. Let's stand across the church tonight. We thank